Good to be with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, would you open them up to Mark chapter 4? Our text is going to be verses 13 through 20. Mark chapter 4, verses 13 through 20. I'm going to read the text. Before I do, I just want to say thanks to everyone who participated in our connection with United Way and Renee Sanders to bless these families who experienced some pretty significant loss. I know a lot of some individuals and small groups, family life groups in our church gathered around these families and served and blessed. And so thank you for continuing to participate in ministries of mercy and justice and love. So God bless you. Mark chapter 4. Verse 13 through 20. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? And how will you understand all the parables? Sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root and endure only for a while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for the things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100 fold." I don't know if there's anyone in here this morning who shares with me, a mentor or a teacher or a parent who ever asked the question, "Why'd God give you two ears and one mouth?" Anyone? What's the answer to that? Right, so you listen more than you talk, and if God wanted you to talk more, he'd give you two mouths, and so on and so forth. I definitely had a mentor that said that or asked that question to me over and over. He would also often ask the question, "What's the first lesson we must learn in life?" And I knew the answer to that question was, we must learn to listen. Or he would ask, "What's the difference between hearing and listening?" And I don't know that I still know the exact definition of that, but I knew the answer he was looking for. And it's that something along the lines that when I'm hearing you, I can hear without the intent to do what you say. But when I'm listening to you, I'm listening with the intent to follow what you're saying. And those are the kinds of questions that he asked me. And I'm so thankful for this mentor in my life who continued to help me become a good listener. He's reminded me of Solomon. I went back just this week as I was thinking about this parable and about listening for the kingdom of God in this series we're in on the kingdom. And I read in the first 9 chapters, I think it's like 20 times, but I did a quick read and found 13 just easy, where Solomon says to his son, "Listen, pay attention, hear, listen to your mother's teachings," over and over and over again. Solomon's trying to tell his son, before you're going to be able to get this wisdom project, and before your character can be shaped by wisdom and become a righteous and just and fair person who truly fears the Lord, you're going to have to learn to listen. We know even before that, going clear back to the great Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, right? What does God say to Israel? "But hear, O Israel." Right? The Lord your God is one. You got to get that right. And you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, your mind, and your strength. Jesus is very concerned about our hearing. Later on in the very gospel we're in right now, in chapter 8, they're about to cross over to the other side of the sea, and the disciples forgot their lunch. They forgot their bread. And so Jesus turns to them and says, "You watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees." And they start saying, "Well, is he talking about not having brought our bread?" And I don't know if you remember Jesus' response, but he reminds me of that A League of Their Own where Tom Hanks is like, "You know, you're missing the cutoff path." You know, he's just like, "Do you not," he says, "do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear?" In other words, in this gospel, Mark's recorded that Jesus did 4,000. He fed 4,000 people. He fed 5,000 people. I mean, what are you talking about? Do you not understand? Do you hear? But you don't get it. Jesus is very concerned about our hearing. And it just struck me this week, and I don't know whether it was indigestion or the Holy Spirit, that before we go any further with this series on the kingdom of God, that we might take some time to just think and hear a little bit about the importance of hearing. Because it's critical to following Jesus rightly. Jesus warns all seven churches in Revelation to get their hearing checked. The church is not to be a group of people who are just decisive decision makers, but diligent discerners. And discernment requires a certain kind of hearing from the biblical perspective. We want to be aware. The disciples were not. They were not good listeners. And I think that's one of the reasons he told the parable of the sower. To help them. To help Mark's community under persecution. Perhaps with Nero and the fires of Rome, blaming that on the Christians. The Christians are under persecution and they aren't hearing well. To help us today improve our hearing, listening to Jesus in Scripture, and for the Spirit in our hearts fertilizes the soul. And so this morning I want to offer four descriptions to describe each listener in the parable of the sower. And so that is, I want to look at the parable through the of the sower through the lens of listening. You can write these down. Number one, I see the first one as lazy listeners. Number two, fearful listeners. Number three, distracted listeners. And number four, kingdom listeners. People who are listening for the kingdom. So lazy listeners, fearful listeners, distracted listeners, and kingdom listeners. And you might describe them differently. Let's talk about that. Let's be a people who stir one another up to love and good listening, as the Hebrew writer might put it. So, Jesus says, as we come to the text, the sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. They hear, and Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. So here, when it's sown along the path, Satan immediately takes away the word that's sown in them. I don't think in this one the issue is ignorance. I don't know if you've ever heard someone talk about the difference between EQ and IQ. Intellectual quotient and emotional quotient. These folks, where the seed is sown along the path, may be brilliant intellectually. But spiritually and emotionally, perhaps we might say they're very slow. They're apathetic listeners. It gets out there, but it's gone before they do anything with it. They already know it all. Maybe they're like those of us during pre-flight. Do you have any folks who fly the friendly skies in here, right? Who are in, right? This is an Air Force community. But when we think about commercial flight, the flight attendant goes through all the necessary information for your safety. Your seat belts fastened, your tray tables are locked in place, seats are in their upright position. If during flight there should be a need for oxygen, a mask will automatically drop down above you. You place the mask firmly over your face and then secure it around the child beside you. Let me ask you a question. What are you doing when she or he is giving you that explanation? Just seriously. Do you even care that she's up there? Do you even know that he's up there? One attendant became so frustrated that she concluded, take the oxygen mask, put it over your face, and plug it into your navel, and breathe deeply. And no one even heard her. Is it possible for us to hear the gospel message so much that we've lost the capacity to hear the gospel message? We've lost our passion. We've lost the zeal and fervor and desire to grow and to have our wineskins stretched, that your theology is so set in stone that you would not even consider any kind of kingdom conversation that would challenge you, because there's first the challenge and then there's the possibility that one might have to change. And we hear the word and it's like we don't even hear it. And so Satan just comes along to hear, and it's, do you know that I'm up here? Is Satan coming and just stealing the word as the words are coming out of my mouth? Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, then hear. I would call the next group fearful listeners. Notice what Jesus says. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root and endure only for a while. But then when trouble or persecution arises on the account of the word, immediately they fall away. Did you notice what Jesus said? When persecution, when trouble arises, and it's coming. Right? It's not if the waters are going to rise. It's not if the wind is going to blow. It's not if the wind is, you know, it's coming. Then they fall away. When he talks like this, and particularly as I think about the historical context of the Gospel of Mark, I often am drawn back to the first 300 years of Christianity. I believe that the call of the kingdom was clearer in those first 300 years, 400 years or so. The world around them was beating the stuffing out of them, which made it a little more clear to see that God was at work in the world. But after the 4th century, disciples of Jesus, followers, learners, apprentices of Jesus, had to strain and strive. They even believed they had to go into the desert and create monastic communities in order to hear. Why? Because of the mass numbers of nominal Christians who became Christians so by the Roman decree. And I believe there's similarities in our country today. There was a time when it was cool to be a Christian. If you walked down Main Street America, you would see the denominations on one side and denominations on the other side. And now today in America, if you walk down Main Street, you're going to find this kind of religion on this side and this kind of religion on that side. We're in a post-Christian context. Christianity, in fact, is on the margins in many places in our country. And we are, many of us, afraid. And fear affects hearing. Perhaps we need a conversion like David Lipscomb. I don't know if you've heard of David Lipscomb, but I'm the more I learn about him, the more impressed I am with him. And this story always impressed me, and I hope it will you, but David Lipscomb was very excited about the wedding, if you will, between the Restoration Movement, that is, this idea of going back to the Bible, and American democracy. He saw those two as being something that could be a real healthy marriage, until he saw churches in the North bayoneting churches of Christ in the South on a battlefield. And something happened to Brother Lipscomb. He had kind of a conversion experience. And he set his direction to the kingdom of God. That he would preach the good news of the kingdom of God and only the kingdom of God. He would seek first the kingdom of God. And he became so passionate about living in the kingdom and the ethics of the kingdom of God, that there was an older general in the South who sent a younger soldier over to hear David Lipscomb preach, because that older general wanted to know, is he for the North or is he for the South, this preacher? And that younger soldier went over and listened to David Lipscomb preach and came back and told his superior officer, sir, I do not know if he is for the North or for the South, but he is for the Christian religion. Amen? And I don't know about you, but whenever I'm gone, I want people to say, I don't know whether he was a Democrat or Republican. I don't know if he was for the North or for the South, but I do know he was for the kingdom of God. That's what I want folks to say about me. What about you when it's all said and done? Disciples have this capacity to flourish in persecution. Jesus says, you hear him say this morning, they'll fall away when trouble comes. Disciples, these ones that know nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Go back and meditate this week on Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through the end of the chapter. Sit with that passage and listen to the first 31 through 35. Listen to Paul tell you that nothing can come before the Almighty God, not Satan himself, and condemn you because of your sin. And then in verses 36 through the end of the chapter, you'll hear Paul say, and you know what? Satan can't bring God and condemn him before you, that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. There's no kind of persecution, there's no famine, there's no nakedness, no height, no but nothing can separate us. We are more than conquerors. But you who have ears to hear this morning, hear fear causes hearing loss. Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, hear. And he goes on, there are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. Now, how many directions could we go here? I mean, think about the language in this, right? The cares of the world. How many are those out there? If we could talk about this forever. I could preach till midnight on the cares of the world. Amen? Somebody going to fall out the window, right? So I'm going to pick on technology. Because one of the cares, at least in my life, that can choke the word, come in and, you know, make it yield nothing, is technology. I did a little bit of research on this. Technology presents us with unprecedented distractions. There's more than two. Take a big deep breath. Put on your three-point harness. 2 billion active social media users worldwide. That is, if that's anywhere close to correct, that's an enormous number. That's a lot of souls being woven together with thorns, right? That means there's potentially going to be some hearing problems, amen? Social networking already accounts for 28%, says these statistics, of all media time spent online. And users aged between 15 and 19 spend at least 3 hours per day on average using platforms as Twitter and Instagram. 18% of social media users can't go a few hours without checking Facebook. And I, of course, thought to myself, a few hours. And 28% of iPhone users check their Twitter feed before getting up in the morning. I was visiting with Paul a little bit about this, and I was just, it's really a blessing to have this conversation partner. But he reminded me, that means, you know, we're, he's probably thinking, I don't want to be accredited for this insight. But that means we're really looking to the cloud for our sense of success. Maybe we're looking for how many tweets we got. You don't have to raise your hand. Or maybe there's business activity that's going on. We're just looking to all of this area, all this up in the cloud in order to find out how to live our lives. Look, can we agree this morning that social media categorically is what Jesus might call today a care of the world or a desire for other things? How can we carefully consider the kingdom of God when we're being sucked away from our own soul, which I need to remind you again, I need to hear it again, happens to be the location of God Almighty. We've seen there is beyond the azure blue. And I've said this before, I'm going to keep saying it because I just think Satan has caused us to misplace the location of God. Is God beyond the azure blue? Yes. But it is also true, the New Testament beats this over and over again. Where does God live? He lives inside of us, and so if we are consumed with, in this case, social media or our iPhone or the cares of the world, then what ends up happening is that Satan is able to draw us away from ourselves. where we can't connect with ourselves and God who lives within us. And we wonder why we're nuts. Randy Harris said one time that Christians ought to be the most sane people on the planet, and oftentimes we're just as crazy as everybody else. Precisely because we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus is calling us this morning to listen up and pay attention. Paul, Billy, and I can stand up here and unpack parables till we pop. But if we will not tune into God Almighty, if we will not tune out of the distractions, come to Jesus, strain and strive to understand, then His preaching becomes empty stories. And I don't believe there's anybody in here that wants that to happen. So let's say it again. If we have ears to hear, let's hear. And so finally Jesus said, and these are the ones sown on the good soil. If you want to be good soil this morning, say amen. Wow. Do you want me to give you another chance at that? Okay, if you want to be good soil this morning, then say amen. We don't even have to be charismatic to go down that road, okay? I want to share with you something that I'm doing with my girls. Now, I come to you with fear and trembling because I'm offering myself and my family up as a good example here. Not that we shouldn't be a good example for you, but I think a preacher, when he does that, just has to be careful. So I just need to say that. At the same time, if you know me, you'll know that I'm about as quick as anyone to talk about my pimples and warts and picadillos and my mistakes. Okay, but here it is. A practice that I'm engaging in that I want to share with you that I believe can be helpful as disciples, as mothers, as fathers, as grandparents, to hear the word, to become good hearers, good listeners, and good disciple makers. So on the way to school, my girls and I, we have an app. And every day that app supplies us with a gospel text, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Okay, so you got a gospel text. And the practice is that we read the text three times on the way. And I won't disclose whether or not I do one of those readings because I'm driving. But the idea is that you take the same text and you read it three times. So I need you to kind of think about that. You can imagine how that's going to get the text down in there when you read it three times. So I will read it, McKay will read it, and Sam will read it, and so we get out there. And while we're reading it, we're thinking about a word or a phrase. Listen carefully. What's a word or a phrase in the text that resonates with you? All right, we do believe the Holy Spirit inspired the word. Amen? And we believe the Holy Spirit is at work in this process as we are listening to the Word for what the Word, what the Spirit might have to say to us in this reading that we just got through reading three times. And the reason why I emphasize that is, has anybody ever had any distractions in the morning? Does anybody ever bicker with their brother or sister in the morning? So we read it three times and that kind of helps us get settled, right? I got some confessional young brothers out here raising their hand. That's great. Appreciate that. So we read it three times. We're looking for this word. We're looking for this phrase. And sort of maybe what does the Holy Spirit have for us in this passage? And after we finish the third reading, and then we take a minute and pray about that word or phrase, we share it with one another. And after we share the word or the phrase, then we read the text one more time. This time we're looking for a response. What did we hear? What did we see? What does the Spirit maybe have for us? Did it convict us? Is this word or phrase teaching us something? Do we sense that in this experience with the Word of God, the Spirit of God has taken the words of God and has something for us that is more specific to us? And then when we finish that, we share that. And mind you, this is all happening on the way to school. And we get this much done every time. So then we share that. Now, if there's enough time, we always want to ask the question, if I took this text seriously, what needs to change in my life today? If I took it seriously, what needs to change in my life today? And by the way, I just I just want you to know, as a parent who's made already far too many mistakes, they'll never know. I could never express to you in words. I'm not a good enough wordsmith to express to you what a blessing this practice is with me. I commend it to you. And it takes 10 minutes, 15. If we have enough time, we ask the question, if you read the text, what needs to change? Because you see, folks who are listening for the kingdom are people who hear with the intent to obey. That is what it means in Scripture to hear rightly. It is the intent to follow Jesus. And I'll close with this story. Eugene Peterson tells a story in his book, Eat This Book, about a fellow who was trying to help his wife understand parables. Peterson writes, Anthony Placatos was a 35-year-old truck driver in my congregation. Anthony grew up in a Greek home, conventionally Catholic, but none of it rubbed off. He left school after the eighth grade. He told me that he had never read a book, and then he became a Christian, got himself an old King James Bible with small print, help me somebody, and read it three times that first year of his conversion. This man was off and running. Mary, his wife, was interested, but also a bit bewildered by all this and asked a lot of questions. Mary had grown up a proper Presbyterian, going to Sunday school all of her growing up years, and was used to a religion of definitions and explanations. When Mary's questions got too difficult for Anthony, he would invite me. He would invite Eugene Peterson to their trailer home, prepared with Elvis Presley posters to help him out. One evening, the subject was the parables. Mary wasn't getting it. I was trying to tell her how to read them, how to make sense of them, how to read them, and I wasn't getting along very well, and Anthony interrupted. Mary, you got to live them. Then you'll understand them. You can't figure them out from the outside. You got to get inside them. Or, he said, you got to let them get inside of you. As we continue in this series on the kingdom, you may not perfectly understand everything we say or what you read. Just do it. I don't believe perfect understanding has to happen before we can become obedient to the will of God. Jesus says that people with good soil will produce, some more than others, but they will produce. Amen? We cannot produce anything if we come and call Him Lord, Lord, and will not do what He says. Those listening for the kingdom, hear it again, are those who come in here with the intent not to just hear, but to hear and obey. Let me pray with you. God, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You so much for Jesus. We thank You so much for His parables. And God, we know and confess this morning that there are many things that get in the way of us being able to hear. I know that there's times that I've read these parables, this parable, and wanted to be the one who produces all of this good fruit, and that I wasn't the one, the three above, God, but I know I'm all three. We struggle. Perhaps we can come to You this morning as a family and confess to You that we sometimes just struggle with being hard of hearing. We want, though, God, so desperately. I believe that every heart here wants to yield fruit in Your kingdom. We want to be to produce fruit. And so, Father, help us to be good listeners, to strain and strive and make our ears long, listening for the word of the kingdom, God, and let us come with that intention, full intention, to seek Your will and live it out. We love you. We're thankful that we can love you because you first loved us. We thank you that Jesus confessed that he could do nothing without you. And we know that he, therefore, was a good listener because he did your will. We pray in his name. Amen. This morning, I just want to encourage you that if you want to respond to the lesson, maybe you haven't been a good listener, maybe you just need to repent and turn from being a not-so-good listener to being a good listener, and you can do that right where you're sitting, or perhaps you want to confess, I just not have been a good listener, and there is evidence of it in my life. Maybe today you've heard something that's convicted you, and you want to put on Christ in baptism. You want to trust him that he died on the cross for you, was raised from the dead, and put him on in baptism. We want to make that possible for you this morning. Whatever your needs may be, we want to invite you to come as we stand and sing.